The city of Bloomington has imposed a 6% fee on Airbnb and other temporary housing rentals. Progress continues toward a tax levy. Rivian unveils its new vehicles in L.A., and the city is studying limiting vaping purchases to those over 21 years of age. Joining us to talk about those developments is Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. The mayors of the Twin Cities join us most Tuesdays after their regular and special council meetings. Mayor Renner, thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas. It has been a long road toward police body cameras, much studied, much discussed. Police have bought into this as a benefit to the public perception of them, to their enforcement of efforts, and evidence gathering, and their efficiency in dealing with calls, as much as any benefit to public safety. But there's still some public griping going on, a suspicion of the move. What are you hearing, and how do you respond to that side-eyed look at this from the public?
Well, there's always going to be concern when there's change. I think this is a fantastic move. And going back years, literally about 5 years ago, when I first talked to Elaine Kautz, who's the mayor of Burnsville, Minnesota, is about a 60,000 person suburb of the Twin Cities. She said, you know, you're going to hear some concerns and griping, but at the end of the day, it's really worth it. If you look at the studies that have been done, academic as well as practical studies that have been done, it shows that it reduces the injury or harm to officers, to citizens. It is a win-win all along. It helps in investigations after the fact in terms of, so essentially it's a win for justice, it's a win for fairness, it's a win for equality, and I think
a win for public perception of police, perhaps?
And a win for public perception for police, absolutely. And of course, we do have a police advisory board as well. So I think the combination of the two, we're hoping to continue to improve relationships between our neighborhoods and our police officers.
Not everything is reduced to a cold, hard, bang for the buck thing, but $750,000 is a lot of money. How can you quantify that it is worth it?
Well, that would be difficult unless we spend a lot of money on consultants. That's probably not worth it. So, at the end of the day, I've done my homework for a half decade in talking and going to multiple hearings and commissions at the U.S. Conference of Mayors that deal with body cams, talked to many mayors throughout the country, and they've talked about the same kinds of transition issues that we have. And I'm as convinced as anything that this is absolutely the best thing. I have yet to find a mayor of the 370 metro mayors in the country that has regretted moving toward this. I'm glad we're on the cutting edge.
The police department, actually, you're not on the cutting edge. The police department has been studying
this. Well, we're on the cutting edge in Illinois.
For a good long time, and had hoped to avoid some of the early adopter problems with battery life, problems with with recording technology and merging of information retention systems. Do you think that waiting for a second or third generation of tech on this will allow a more seamless adoption? Then obviously,
well,
there are always growing pains.
Right, but there's always growing. That's one of the difficulties of being one of the first adopters, like Burnsville, Minnesota. But certainly at this point, that's been a half decade. So I think we've gotten rid of most of the kinks. That doesn't mean we've gotten rid of all of them. But any time that you make progress, that doesn't mean that it's not two steps forward and sometimes one step backward, and then you learn from it, and then you keep going. As Franklin Roosevelt would have said during the New Deal, is that we have to try. And if we make mistakes, we freely admit it, and we try to correct them, and we move forward.
Let's also talk about the Airbnb fee. If the city is imposing a use tax to level that playing field with traditional hotels and motels, should it not also consider a tax on electric vehicles to support road repair, to level that playing field?
Well, that is actually something that we're prohibited from doing. You know, that would be an issue at the state level to be handled, the latter issue that you've mentioned. The former issue, I don't know that it totally levels the playing field, but it certainly does to some degree. The hotel-motel industry rightly notes that they are subject to health and safety regulations and that they have to charge taxation. And so that is in addition to the actual fees. And I think those are fair requests. And also, by the way, there are always panels on Airbnb regulations at the U.S. Conference of Mayors. So once again, we're not alone.
Is there the ability of the city to enforce those health and safety regulations with the small providers like Airbnb folks? Not a corporate liability, institutional, organizational, structural thing that can assure quality control. These are private owners.
Certainly. So what we do have, and we have passed a few meetings ago, is business registration. So regardless of what that business registration is, whether or not it's an Airbnb or whether or not it is a McDonald's, we will make sure that we have our community development that would be responsible for investigating and making sure that our health and safety codes are met. So we're protecting the public.
So let's take a not-so-hypothetical example of bed bugs. They happen from time to time in all communities, including in Bloomington Normal.
That's absolutely right.
So how quickly can the city respond to Airbnb folks who might have a problem there?
Well, there'd be, I would assume, two ways. One would be regular inspections, but two would be complaints. I mean, this is the one beauty of the internet, of course, and that is if somebody goes to a house and they are, you know, affected by bed bugs, presumably we will find this out on the internet rather quickly, because there are almost instantaneous reviews on the internet. These are, again, the kinds of issues that have come up, not just in, well, obviously we've just started here in Bloomington, and we're working with Normal on this issue and others. And it has been the case in New York. It's been the case in Chicago. It's been the case in Los Angeles. It's been the case in Columbia, Missouri. We're not alone. And so we're going to work through these.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. With us is Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner, talking about what happened last night at the City Council meeting and other issues facing the city. As you mentioned, the city did work with the Town of Normal on the Airbnb 6% fee, and the two ordinances in both municipalities look a lot alike. But the Town of Normal has already imposed a 21-year age limit on tobacco, and you're still studying it. What is the discrepancy there?
Well, I think Normal,
since you are working closer together these days.
Yeah. Well, I think we've always worked closely together. I would talk to Chris Koos multiple times during the course of a week, even during the so-called Metro Zone, issue. We would talk about lots of issues. So the cities are always in cooperation. We have to be. We're one community. But and we are, I think, partly because we've got two new city managers, and particularly on our side of Division Street, we've got a new city manager who is really beginning to make things happen. I'm very proud of Mr. Gleason and the accomplishments that he's made. But when it comes to this particular issue, I think, once again, Normal has had a leg up on Bloomington. They started more quickly than we did. They had some pressure from some of the students at ISU, and so they have passed it contingent on our passage. At this point, I can say I have not talked to all the council members, and Mr. Gleason has spoken with many of the council members. There is definite support for public health. There's the question of whether or not this should be handled at the state level or at the local level. And that's what we want to work out.
Well, let me circle back to that electric car issue then. Since we're talking about under 21, what level should it be handled at, since we're asking about electric cars, and what level that should be handled at? And since Airbnb is also an issue, what is the deciding factor for, okay, let's collect this at the local level versus let's handle this at the state level? Sales taxes, for instance.
Absolutely. Well, they're handled state level, and then they are funneled back, a portion of it's funneled back to communities.
Yeah,
I think to a large degree it depends upon whether there are immediate spillover effects. Like, you could hardly expect the city of Bloomington to handle air pollution and not the Town of Normal, or not the state of Illinois, or in the suburb of Chicago, If Arlington Heights, for example, said, hey, we're going to have strict air quality standards in Arlington Heights, well, that's not going to matter. You get a little windstorm within 20 seconds, you know, it's not going to matter. So I think it depends on whether or not there are obvious externalities or whether or not you can just kind of walk across the border and get a, have another municipality that has a whole different set of rules. So when it comes to something like Airbnb, that is enforced locally. That is part of what we do. Now, again, I'm not making the case. I'm not a smoker. I'm very much, I have respiratory issues and sinus infections. I do not like smoke of any form. I'm just talking about the opinion of the city council. And I think it's a legitimate question. And that's what we're going to be, you know, speaking with the city council on.
In terms of regulation, though, I mean, you and Mayor Coos of Normal have both been fairly critical of the idea of regulating assault-style weapons as in at the city level as an ineffective measure that will not prevent people from taking it across the border. Well, the same thing is true of vaping materials. They can buy it elsewhere and bring it in.
Absolutely.
So why do it?
Well, and I think that's the question that the city council faces right now.
Normal decided and...
Well, Normal has made a decision, and sometimes Normal makes decisions along with Bloomington, and we work together. And sometimes again, in Bloomington, one of the critical differences is not just the population is a little bit more diverse and it's a larger community. It does not have ISU. There's a lot of differences. But it's also the case that the 9 council members are elected from 9 different wards. And only the mayor runs citywide. In Normal, everybody runs throughout the entire town. And so in Normal, everybody has the same constituents and they face the same political pressures and the same needs. And frankly, it's also probably, I would say, more difficult to get elected to the Normal Town Council than it is to get elected to the Bloomington Town Council, City Council.
Speaking of those wards, the filing period for the April municipal contests just ended on Monday at close of business, and there are contested races in every ward that's up. How do you look at the field of candidates?
Well, first of all, I'm glad that each ward has competition. I think competition is good. In fact, each of them actually has 2 candidates. And that is one of the difficulties of having wards, is that sometimes you might have a bunch of candidates, as we did. We had 5 candidates in Ward 4 4 years ago, and then we had no candidates in Ward 2. Now we have some competition. I think that part's good. And we know that we're going to have a third of the city council that's going to be new at the very least. So there are 4 seats up. 3 incumbents are not seeking re-election. And the incumbent that's seeking re-election is, of course, Karen Schmidt in Ward 6. And she is being opposed by Jen Carrillo. And so we will see whether or not, who wins that particular race. So it's possible we will have, it's certain that we'll have a third of the city council that's new, possibly 4. How do I see the particular races? I think the open seats are probably the ones where you're going to see some of the most intense competition. Although Ward 6, where you have the one incumbent seeking re-election, may also be a very, very tight race.
Are you endorsing anyone? Will you endorse someone?
Well, there's a difference between endorsing and supporting. So I'm happy to sit down and talk to any of the council candidates, talk to them about the city, what I think. I'd like to figure out what their perspective is. Why are they running? What's their vision for the city? What are our commonalities? Where are the areas where we differ, or are there areas where we might be able to compromise? So I'd be happy to sit down and talk with any of them. I would really be a terrible mayor if at the end of the day I did not weigh in on city council elections, because the city council is the body, the legislative body. The mayor is sort of a legislative, sort of an executive official with veto powers. But absolutely, it's critical to be, to who's on the city council and what that culture is. And that doesn't mean that somebody is going to agree with, nobody's going to agree with you on everything, but just, where are you coming from? And to encourage this new group of council members to go to the Illinois Municipal League and to go to National League of Cities so they have some comparative perspective on making decisions. And they need to talk to their colleagues in Normal, of course.
One of the candidates, Josh Barnett, who you had said you believed you could work very well with, withdrew fairly close to the end of the filing period. And another person that you have often worked well with and voted with and has shared some of your values, Amelia Burgess, has announced she's not running. Does this weaken you and your influence on the council?
Well, we'll have to see what happens in terms of the election. Those are both decisions that I was very, I was sad that they were that Josh Barnett stepped down, and I was certainly sad that Amelia Burgess didn't. I understand that these were for personal reasons. You've got to realize that, of course, when you are in a so-called part-time job as a city council member or even as the mayor, especially the mayor is not part-time, and it does take a lot of time away from your family. It does take a lot of time, takes a lot of psychological toll on people, and some people may realize, hey, at this point, whether it's my kids or my family, I need to prioritize my family first, and I would never try to talk anybody out of that position, because your family has to come first.
Do you have a preference in those two wards?
I don't, in Ward 8, I don't really even know the other gentleman who has filed. So I would have to say in Ward 8, no. In Ward 4, I absolutely know Julie Emig. I helped her pass petitions. And I mean, this is going to be part of public record because, I had to get them notarized. So I absolutely and strongly support Julie Emig. I think she will do a fantastic job. And I think she will follow in the footsteps. And she's got big shoes to follow, and that is for Amelia Burgess in Ward 4. I think she's got the right instincts, and she has really shown a great commitment to social justice and to the future growth of this community.
Rivian Automotive is unveiling its first two electric vehicles at the LA Auto Show this week. Our Ryan Denham is out there, and we'll hear more from him in just a moment. How will the city of Bloomington support Rivian as it moves forward and tries to bring cars to market now that it has them?
Well, pretty much in any way that we possibly can. We have not been asked specifically, in recent months to do particular things. We would not be rebating any taxes because Rivian's physical location, of course, is in the town of Normal, even though a large portion of people who will be likely working at Rivian in the long term will be living in the city of Bloomington. So we're there, we're willing to help, and we're willing to work with not only Normal, the Economic Development Council, to make sure that Rivian is as successful for our community as possible. The economic benefits to Rivian don't start and stop at Division Street.
So how are you going to buy a fleet of Rivian trucks for public works? Are you support?
That's certainly very possible. I'm sure that could be something that's on the table. I haven't spoken with the city council on that. That decision obviously wouldn't be made until after the elections. I don't know that we need a new fleet of trucks at this point. But as we're replacing trucks, we might very well. I'm sure that we have a local preference ordinance. So if something is made locally and we have a local bidder, we want to invest locally.
What concrete skin can Bloomington have in this game?
It could be, as you've mentioned, buying specific products. It could very well be that there may be some economic incentives or that there are other employers who benefit from Rivian. And Rivian is not an island. And that was same with Mitsubishi. There were some firms that really got hit and some had to close that really depended upon Mitsubishi, some of which were in Bloomington. So it may very well be that we are able to help some of those subsidiary industries, in addition to Rivian. And in the short term, we will wait to hear from Bloomington and the EDC, Normal and the EDC.
Mayor Terry Renner, thank you for your time today on Sound Ideas.
Thanks, Charlie.
The mayors of Bloomington and Normal join us most Tuesdays after the regular and special council meetings. Next week, we'll hear from Mayor Chris Koos of Normal. This is 89.1 and WGLT.org.